بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation on the beneficial saying on Tawheed, and we move now to, we are still in the chapter about the fear of shirk, and we move now to Hadith Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من مات وهو يدعو من دون الله ندا دخل النار. In the hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari, that Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever dies while still invoking anything other than Allah as a rival, ascribing partner as a rival to him, will enter hell. So this speaks about the person who may set up rivals to Allah, invoking them, and the invocation could be an invocation of worship, because invocation is of two types: dua o ibadah, an invocation of worship, and the other type is dua o al mas'ala, dua, invocation of request. Like the dua of ibadah, dua of worship, like fasting, as-salah, and the known acts of worship. So if the person makes salah or fasts, then he is invoking Allah in his status quo to forgive him and to save him from the punishment and to give him what he requests. This is in the essence of salah. Also, it involves the invocation by statement. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ghafir, chapter 60, verse 41. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. And your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, invoke me, I will respond to your invocation. Verily those who scorn my worship, you see, he called this invocation worship. So, this type, all of it is shirk, meaning to invoking Allah by setting up rivals with him, invoking them. So anyone who diverts any of this type of worship to other than Allah, then he commits the major kufr that takes him out of the state of Islam. So if some person also makes ruku', bows to a certain person, to another, or prostrates to something which he magnifies, as he magnifies Allah in this ruku' or this sujood, then he becomes a mushrik. And that's why the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam forbade the Muslim to bow to another one, to another person, if he meets him. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a man asked him, if he meets his brother, is it permissible for him to bow, inclining his back downward? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. And this is in opposition to what's done by some ignorant people when they greet each other. They do a bowing gesture, and every believer should denounce this, because in this case this person is magnifying you by compromising his deen in this way. The second type of invocation is the invocation of request. Not all of this is shirk. Rather, it's to be detailed. So if the person whom you are asking him for something is able to offer, then it is not shirk. Like, for example, you tell a person who can do that, you tell him, give me a drink of milk or something like that. He's able to do that, then there is no problem with this. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ دَعَاكُمْ فَأَجِيبُ. Anyone who requests something from you, then answer him. Of course, this refers to the situation if you are able to help him. This is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa in chapter 4, verse 8. وَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْقِسْمَةَ أُولُو الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ فَارْزُقُوهُمْ مِنْهُ. And when the relatives and the orphans of and the masakeen, the poor, are present at the time of division, give them out of the property and speak to them words of kindness and justice. So if the poor man extends his hand and tells you, give me, then this is not shirk, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, give them out of the property. However, if someone requests something from another created being in that which only Allah can give, only Allah is able to do, then this invocation or this request is a major shirk that takes him out of the order of Islam. Like you invoke someone or request from him to bring down the rain, believing that he is able to do that. Now, what is intended by the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَدْعُو لِلَّهِ نِدَّ. Whoever dies while still invoking anything with Allah, other than Allah, taking him as rival. What is intended in this is a rival in the invocation of worship type. In the invocation of the worship type. As to the arrival in the type of request, then as you have heard, meaning it requires the details that you had heard. Is the person able or not able? The one whom you request. It's regretful that in some parts or in the Muslim world, there are those who believe that such and such person, an occupant of a grave, can benefit them or harm them, or that he may help in having offspring for a person, for the person who may not have children. This is of course, and we seek refuge in Allah from this, this is a major shirk that takes the person out of Islam. And condoning this is stronger than condoning the drinking of alcoholic beverages or homosexuality or zina, adultery, because this is condoning of kufr. Then the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, whoever does this, دخل النار, will enter hellfire, meaning forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Al-Ma'idah in chapter 5, verse 72. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ. Surely they have disbelieved who say, or verily whoever sets up partners in worship with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him, and the fire will be his abode. And for the polytheists and wrongdoers, there are no helpers. So this entails, if paradise is forbidden, then this entails that he's going to be in hellfire forever. And thus we have to fear shirk, when we know that this is the punishment on it. So the mushrik indeed, خسر الآخرة, lost the hereafter. Why? Because he will be in hell forever. He also lost this life, because he didn't benefit of it. He didn't benefit in anything. And the proof has been established on him, and the warner came to him, but he lost. قال الله تعالى, الله سبحانه وتعالى said in Surah Fatir in chapter 35 verse 37, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Didn't we not give you lives long enough so that whoever would receive admonition could receive it, and the warner came to you. وقال الله عز وجل, and in Surah Al-Hajj in chapter 22 verses 11-13, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ مِنْ دُونِ وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انقلب عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. And among mankind is he who worships Allah as it were upon the very edge, meaning in doubt. If good befalls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his face, meaning he reverts back to disbelief after embracing Islam. Listen to this carefully. This is what we were talking about a moment ago. And among mankind is he who worship Allah as if, as it were, upon the very edge, meaning in doubt. If good befalls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his face. He reverts back to disbelief after embracing Islam. He loses both this world and the hereafter. And that is the evident loss. يَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُ وَمَا لَا يَنْفَعُهُ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الضَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدُ. He calls besides Allah unto that which hurts him not, nor profits him. That is a straying far away. يَدْعُوا لَمَن ضَرُّهُ أَقْرَبُ مِن نَفْعِهِ لَبِئْسَ الْمَوْلَى وَلَبِئْسَ الْعَشِيرُ. He calls unto him whose harm is nearer than his profit, certainly an evil patron and certainly an evil friend. And in Surah Az-Zumar in chapter 39 verse 15, قال الله عز وجل, قل إن الخاسرين الذين خسروا أنفسهم وأهليهم يوم القيامة. The losers are those who will lose themselves and their families on the day of resurrection. Verily that will be a manifest loss. He lost himself because he didn't benefit from this life in anything, and he lost his family. Because if they were from the believers, they will be in paradise, and thus he will not enjoy them in the hereafter. And if they were in the fire, then that's it. Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-A'raf chapter 7 verse 38, كلما دخلت أمة لعنت أختها. Every time a nation enters, it curses its sister nation that went before, until they will be gathered all together in the fire. And the matter of shirk is very, very hidden. The shirk is very hidden, and that's why some of the Salaf, particularly the one who said this is Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, ما جاهدت نفسي أو ما جاهدت نفسي على شيء ما جاهدته على الإخلاص. There was nothing more harder for my to strive against more than striving to make myself comply on ikhlas, on sincerity. So the shirk is a difficult matter, not easy. ولكن ييسر الله الإخلاص على العبد. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the ikhlas easy upon the slave. How? بأن يجعله نصب عيني. That he makes the sincerity easy for the slave by making his, by making this matter his highest concern. Thus he directs his actions seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not seeking the praise or the blame of people. They never avail him. Even if they go with him on his funeral, nothing will avail him except his deeds. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يتبع الميت ثلاثة, three that will follow the deceased, two will return and one will remain. The three that will follow him will be his family and his wealth and his deeds. His family and his wealth will return, and his deeds will stay. This is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. And so the person should not really be pleased that people accept his saying because it is his saying. Because it is his saying. However, he should be pleased that people accept his saying if he sees that it is the truth, because it is the truth, not because himself, not because he is the one who said it. And he also should not be grieved or saddened that people reject his saying because it is his saying. Because in this way he will be calling people to himself. However, he will be saddened that people reject because it is the truth. In this way, the ikhlas will be manifested. The sincerity will be attained. So the matter of ikhlas is very, very difficult. However, if the person is really directing himself truly to Allah on the straight path, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعِينُهُ عَلَيْهِ, Allah will help him certainly and make it easy for him. We stop here. This will conclude the explanation of this hadith, this great hadith reported by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and which the author cited when he spoke about the fear of shirk. مَنْ مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ نِدًّا دَخَلَ النَّارِ, whoever dies while still invoking anything or other than Allah as a rival to Allah will enter hellfire. We continue inshallah the other citations tomorrow. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.